the expert that's brave enough to say the word deciduous. Talking Trees with John Eisenhower. Rosie on the house.
Thank you for staying with us. We're talking through our November to-dos on our tree calendar. We've got spraying that can be done for basically preventative maintenance when we talk about olives.
Yeah, this is the time to get scheduled for getting your olive trees sprayed. I just thought about it today as I was walking through a large property with tons of olive trees, and we get backed up with our scheduling, and we like
How
to
early
try
did
to...
you start this morning? I know you get an early start because most of your emails I get from you are between 3 and 4 a.m. You hit a job before you got down here this morning?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we do try to get out early. I need to be at the yard by 4:30, so I sometimes check my email that first hour before that.
Oh, man.
We try to get our spraying started in January, and we spray right on through till about the middle of March, maybe a little bit beyond that. But it's good to get on our schedule early enough, so this is a good time. I just wanted to give a heads up to give people an alert that it's time to give us a call to be sure that you can get in that rotation.
Now, olive trees can't be planted in a lot of Arizona anymore, but there's still a lot of olive trees left. There was nothing that ever said you have to cut down what you have. And this spraying helps prevent just an explosion of purple concrete.
Yeah. You can no longer plant a fruit-bearing olive tree. So they do have fruitless olive trees, which are available. But there are a lot of older olive trees, which are long-lived trees. They're just amazing. They can live to be 100-plus years old. So there's a lot of fruit-bearing olive trees all across the Southwest Desert communities. And they produce a lot of olives and a lot of mess. You can live with the mess, let them produce fruit normally, and then just deal with that as the olives mature and start to drop on the ground. And like you said, you step on them and smash that purple juice all over. It stains the concrete. By the way, the stain of olive trees and of date palms or dates that fall out of palm trees, for instance, they do stain pavers and concrete. But it's temporary. It's all organic. There's some oils there that kind of hold the stain in place for several months. It'll persist. But generally, it needs just a couple of months of sunlight to oxidize that, and it will disappear like disappearing ink. But you have to be patient. We have a lot of people running out there with all sorts of caustic compounds to clean up that olive mess. And it's really hard to find products that can actually lift that out of the concrete. We found some products that are actually a paste that you can put onto the stain, leave it for a half hour, 45 minutes, I believe, and then you can lift it off, and it kind of pulls the oils out of the stain. But that's a lot of work when you've got 50 to 100 of those little pock marks all over your concrete. So I would just encourage you to leave it if you can bear the ugliness of those stains for a season, because within a year they'll be gone.
But if you sprayed, you have less to worry about.
Back to the spring, yeah. And this is why a lot of people like to spray. It causes the little olives, when they're forming, to abort, to basically drop off before they ever form. So it's a really nice, it's kind of a, it basically tricks the plant into thinking that it needs to drop the fruit. And I believe a lot of the chemicals that are used have that abscisic acid in them. It's basically a hormonal treatment. It's not really a high toxic chemical that you're spraying on your trees, but it tricks the tree into thinking that it's time to drop its fruit. And that it usually has about 80-90% coverage. We ask our customers to consider actually pruning your olive trees prior to spraying so you get better coverage. So
I'm sure that you use less product that way too.
Absolutely. Yeah, you get better coverage and
whenever we talk expense. About an olive treatment to prevent this, we always get people, is there something I can do for my mesquites? Can I do that to my Texas ebony? Can I do that to my, fill in the blank of anything that produces other
yes.
fruits?
And it's been really amazing because we've been the tree industry has been appealing for the chemical manufacturers to broaden the label on some of these products to cover some of these other types of trees, like your Texas ebonies, your mesquites and others, and they've done this recently. So now some of these same olive stop products that have been available and used principally for olives now can be used across a lot of pod-producing trees, a lot of our legumes. So the one to talk to in our office would be Sarah Maitland, our plant health care director. She can give you a heads up on if you have one of those trees that produces a ton of pods and they're dropping all over, like your mesquites, give her a call because she can talk to you about the availability of products that we can use to stop that that pod drop.
She's like the in-house scientist.
She is. She's amazing. We're so proud of her and happy to have her on staff. But there's a window of opportunity to spray. So you have to have the right spray window to be able to get the right coverage at the right time while the pods are, or the blooms with these mesquites, for instance. You have to do it while the bloom is on because those blooms then produce the seed pods. So you need to, spray at the right time. And again, Sarah Maitland in our office would be happy to coach you through that and give you an estimate for the cost.
And we won't spend a lot of time on the next topic because hopefully you've noticed the amount of rain that's fallen out of the sky and you've noticed the cooler days and you've dialed back your irrigation.
You should have. I walked across a lake today that was used to be somebody's lawn, and I'm thinking, what are you? And the owner was very apologetic. He said, I think I need to adjust that sprinklers down. Well, he's trying to get his winter lawn in, but he's just overdoing it. You don't need to have it that wet. You just need to keep those little rye seeds moist enough to stimulate the germination. And once they do get up and going, you need to shut that water down.
More Talking Trees right here at Rosie on the House right after this.